Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the pecs, I'm serving him. Mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the What Will Figure Do podcast. I am your host, as usual, Olu Jimmy. Joined today, not by Mr. Francis, but...
unfortunately.
But by the voice you guys have heard all summer on the podcast streams, if you guys are listening and paying attention, the man who loves to introduce himself.
El Maestro, the first of his name, Dr. Ramen, Papi Chulo, a lot of monikers. You know, it's been a great summer. It's been an amazing time. Happy to be back. Obviously, we're missing our boy, Francois.
We'll hold it down for you, Maji.
Lally Pop, we got you.
Hold it down for you, Maji. What a time to be alive, man. You know, I know the sun is setting record numbers, but, you know, I know some niggas too who are saying record numbers this summer too, man. But, you know, that's the conversation for another podcast. But, you know, hope everyone's enjoying their summer though still. Let's get straight into it. Like, we've had a few preseason games. I think we've had three to be exact. We played Leeds, played Lyon, and yesterday we played Arsenal. And we haven't conceded a single goal in any of those preseason games. Again, when it comes to preseason, I usually take those with a grain of salt because I don't think it has any impact into how you play in the regular season. Because, you know, the attention to details or the levels are different when it comes to regular season because that actually matters and points matters. But before we get into actual games, I know we've had a few signings. We've had Mason Mount. We've had, what's his name again? Signed our Onana, a goalkeeper of the future. We've also let, there's rumors that, what's his name? Elanga might be going somewhere else.
Oh, no. Elanga is not a rumor. That's here we go.
Oh, he's gone already? Here we go.
Yeah, well, like, that's Fabrizio's here we go. That might as well be your seal, you know?
Oh, okay. So deal done with Elanga, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be a shame, though. I'm going to miss singing that song. It's Elanga, you know. He gave us a few good moments, but yeah, I think it's about time we get shit out. I feel like there are some other players that we'll talk about. There are gonna be some other players we're gonna talk about that I feel like that in that vein of like not good enough for a starter, not really good enough for a bench either. So there are a few of them in that mix that I think they can find a new home, either via loan or selling teams, even though we're not the best at selling teams. But
yeah. Mason Mount. Wait, hold on. I actually want to give props to United because I think it's very easy. Like, we've become conditioned to expect a level of incompetence with the way we conduct our business in general.
That's true.
And I think it become very hard for us to give them props because you are always expecting that incompetence to show itself at any moment. And it's like you take two steps forward, you take four steps back. But I have to commend like the United hierarchy, not the Glazer, just like the leadership. So Alan, Morta, they failed woefully last summer, but I feel like they've done much better this summer than they did last summer. In terms of, one, we've signed two players where we are negotiating transfers already that have now been able to join the team and actually train with the team within, you know, the first 2 weeks of the transfer window opening. And so, like, even though it feels like a very long time we've been talking about these transfers, again, like, they've only resumed training for 2 weeks. And if you think that, like, people like Rashford only came end of last week, some of these people would, you know, it's like if Rashford only showed up last week because that's when like some of those ones that go on extended holiday started training. It's like these guys haven't missed any time at all as far as getting to go on tour with the team, train, getting to learn the system, getting to learn the people that they're with, you know, start building that chemistry. I think last season, you looked at how we handled it. We got Casemiro very late. We got Anthony very late. We overpaid for those guys based on the desperation that we were acting with. And now you see, like, we've already signed two players. So I want to commend them on the work they're doing. And to go back to what you were talking about, I think I have a little more confidence that this season we'll actually be able to sell players. Right. We'll see. I mean,
I wish I could be at the same level with you, but you know, a broken clock is right twice a day too. So yeah. When it comes to United, I feel like they have to show me like a consistent, I don't mean like consistent, maybe like over a 2-year period. I mean like just have a proper transfer window, first of all, and then we can get to the point where I feel a little bit more comfortable. Like, yes, we signed Mount and we signed Onana. I think the Onana thing was a good, like, that one I would commend them for. Not for Mount. Mount technically was just an English boy, yeah. So Onana, I feel like Onana, I commend them for just for the fact that I think we've all talked about.
For Mount, though, because one, we weren't the only ones that wanted Mount, right? Like, Liverpool had documented history in wanting Mount. Arsenal wanted Mount. The reports that I saw were that Ten Hag got to talk to Mount. So Chelsea had offered him a contract. They were dilly-dallying on the terms. Chelsea wanted him to sign like a 7-year contract or something like that. And he wanted a shorter-term contract and more money because he has scored the most goals, the most assists, the most game time since he's gotten into the team. So he's saying, you guys are paying some of these newer guys like all this money. Me that I've been here, I've been one of the few proven people. You don't want to give me money, then you're giving me a 7-year deal. Like, you're going to tie me in. So Chelsea took away their offer. And then they said, okay, go and find yourself a deal. So Liverpool wanted him because Liverpool were doing the midfield reshuffle. But they said he talked to Ten Hag and he was very surprised in a very good way, at how much detail Ten Hag knew about his game. And that was what won him over. Because if you thought about it before the end of the season, I mean, some of these reports started coming out that Mason Mount wasn't going to sign a deal, so Chelsea was built.
Yeah.
But United didn't seem like a perfect fit, you know? But then you start looking at the history too, it's like, when Mount was on loan in Holland, Ten Hag actually wanted to buy him for Ajax, from Chelsea. But Chelsea said, no, we want to incorporate him into our team. So this is somebody that he wanted. I don't think it was somebody that they just locked into. I know people are talking about Caicedo and Rice and some of these other midfielders. But I think now when we look at this team, and I know we'll get to this, but when we look at this team, I think I'm beginning to understand some of the rationale behind it. It's like, if you look at Kobbie Mainoo coming through and you have Casemiro in that position, then maybe what you need is a number 8. And that's why we go for Mount.
Yeah, no, I from a team setup, I guess when I watch the preseason, I can see where it would fit in, especially if we're going to like give Mainoo like, you know, like a lot of run this season, which I think we will. But anyway, we'll get to that game. But what about, I think it's been well documented, not well documented, that like I really don't rate Mount like that. But at the same time, I know I rate my coach, and I know if he sees something in him that he wants to that he thinks he can help the team, then I'll go with whatever ATH says. But as a player, like, I don't think Matt is one of those players that I'm going to be clamoring for, you know, or having a song for anytime soon. But
Joey Langa.
There's no, yeah, exactly. But the biggest signing that we've done so far is Onana, and I don't even know if to say farewell to Dagia, because as much as we like to like rail on Dagia, I think he gave us he's given us like a few best of his career in terms of like his one player of the season a couple of times for United. I feel like we wasted those prime years of Dagia on shitty teams, or either shitty teams or shitty coaches, or a mixture of both. So I don't want to just like gloss over the fact that, like, even though like he's been poor over the last couple of seasons, like I feel like Dagia still did.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When we say he's been poor over the last couple of seasons, do you want to just hazard a guess how many seasons you think that is?
I'll probably say, so we had LVG, we had Mo.
Yeah.
And for Mo, we had Socha. And then from Socha, we had, whatever his name is, the philosopher. But I think it was probably towards like mid, like Socha reign. I think it was still good when LVG was around. For me, I don't know. Or maybe I just wasn't paying attention to
I think team Mo like that. Was where he started. I think the first season Mo came, the season we made Champions League.
Yeah.
I think that was probably his last great season. Or last, like the season where I would say, okay, he really made a difference for us. For
when me, was the last time he won player of the season for us? Was it not under Mo?
I'm guessing. I think that season that we made Champions League under
yeah.
first season. But that season we made Champions League because, oh no, maybe the second season where we came second.
Yeah.
The second season where we came second, I think that was the last time that he got like player of the season. I don't feel like since he signed this new contract, there was ever a season where we felt like he earned being paid the highest goalie money. And I guess, you know, it's not your fault. Like, you get paid what you are.
Exactly. What
you get. So I don't begrudge people getting paid. The club, somebody sanctioned that deal. There was nobody holding a, you know, a
barrel, yeah. Also, that's the way we've been doing business. Like, we've been throwing money at players.
At that time, yes, exactly. Yeah. So, 350. I think that's what caused a little bit of the resentment with the fans. Is you are making a lot of mistakes, and we keep looking at you as one of the highest earners. And we saw you go from arguably the best keeper in the world to then becoming somebody that was no longer a modern keeper. So, you were now somebody that was behind in terms of the skill set of what a modern keeper should do. And then on top of that, the thing that made you great, you were no longer great at. You were not a short stopper like that anymore. So I agree. I think it's hard for me to, like, you remember the end more than you remember some of those earlier years, but there were some really, really great times with Dahia, and I'm not sad to see him go because I think it was time. And I think he had, it's not like it was time yesterday. It was time maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah. So,
you know, but again, a legend, and we'll be happy to welcome him back for some type of testimonial.
I was going to say, that was what was going to be my leg. Yeah, like, he deserves a testimonial. Oh, probably sure. More than, what's his name? What's the name of this guy that said nobody will probably attend my testimonial?
Phil Jones? I think I would even have attended a Phil Jones testimonial. It would have been such a celebratory atmosphere. You know, like,
he's no longer getting paycheck.
Yeah. Another one of those only transfers that just boggles the mind. Gave this guy a 5-year deal. Huh.
Yeah.
Somebody that hadn't played. Yeah. Benched him in favor of Bailly.
Bailly is still on the books for us, right?
Yeah, but his Saudi deal is loading.
We have so many of those people, like Telis, Alex Telis too. Have you sold him?
No. Yeah, he's already gone.
He's already Tell gone.
Us, right?
Yeah, okay. He went to Saudi, gone. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone to Saudi.
Yeah.
So he's already gone. I think now it's just we obviously, I think Donny van der Beek, I think some of these guys are going to play just so we can get them in the like, get people talking about them.
Yeah.
You know, like, somebody like DVB scored, so you remember, okay, he's no longer injured. He's actually available.
Yeah, get them on the radar.
Yeah, get them on the radar. Because, like, I think a lot of these transfers are not about how good these players are. Clubs are just trying to, you know, you're trying to make money. So there are clubs that will buy Donny van der Beek. He'll come in. He'll be a big name for them, or, like, a splash name. Whether the coach likes him or not, that's almost secondary because he will sell jerseys, all these kind of things. So I think there's a good chance, like I said, I'm more optimistic. I don't think we'll get them out early, but I think before the close of the transfer window, I think you are going to start seeing a lot of these players move. As I think clubs kind of wait for the bigger dominoes to fall because you want to see how much you're going to be able to make. You know, so for example, West Ham has now sold Rice. Brighton will sell Caicedo. Those guys will go and buy somebody else, then that will create another void. So as those larger signings get done, the money kind of trickles down, and then you start seeing more activity amongst, you know, the loan deals, the bargain deals, the, you know, the discount deals like DVB and some of these guys. And so I think you'll probably see people like Donny van der Beek leave. Fred is most definitely going to leave. I don't know if Scott leaves, but, you know, that could be another way that we raise some funds as well.
Yeah, but I am actually excited about having a ball playing goalie, though. This is not even me, like, going back and watching Onana's highlights. I think one of the things, and let's just bring it back forward to, like, the game against Arsenal, because that's actually my first full preseason game that I watched. One of the things that I noticed is Tom Heaton is actually better on the ball than De Gea was ever was. And I can't believe I'm saying this.
Bro, even that young boy, I don't know if you saw the game before that against Leon. What's his name? Kova. That guy is much better. Like, much, much better than De Gea. It's shocking now. Like,
I know. And I think that's what one of the things, because you think about Tom Heaton, you really don't, you know, you're like, oh, you know, it's just a guy. But when I actually watched the game and I saw the way he was very comfortable on the ball and the way he was actually spreading the ball and passing the ball, like, he gave a couple of long balls down the wing. I think one of them was to Mainoo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow, like, De Gea could never do that.
If De Gea blasts it out, it's panic.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the things that I'm actually looking forward to. I'm like, okay, now we have someone who was... So basically, you have an extra defender, basically. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because now you can push up a little bit with the likes of Martinez and Varane. Varane will come to... Varane, is, I don't know. I feel like... Maybe it's just my opinion. I feel like Varane is not as good on the ball as I thought he was.
He's not a natural
ball
guy. Yeah.
And I don't know why I always thought like he was good on the ball like that.
But you see, you never notice Varane's weaknesses on the ball until Martinez is not playing. And that's where you notice it more. It's like if Martinez is not playing, or like last season. So for example, last season when Martinez got injured for us, I think we struggled a lot more in those games. Remember, like, the Sevilla game where Maguire started for us?
Yeah.
Where they kept making all these incredible mistakes. Like, De Gea makes a mistake, Maguire makes a mistake, and we just concede. And it's because soon as you remove that one person that is comfortable on the ball, it's like there was nobody else in that you could really go to. This was before you started really playing Lindelof. But now you're going to have Onana, you're going to have Martinez, and these are people that have actually played together before as well.
That's true.
I think you're going to see a huge difference. Like, people like Shaw and Dalot or Wan-Bissaka are going to play so much further up the field because Onana is going to start coming further. And if you remember, even if you watch the Arsenal game, you start seeing it. Like, Wan-Bissaka is almost a right winger for us in that game.
Yeah, he played a lot in seven, like, and exactly. Then Mainoo drops back to be like the six, like the actually probably deeper than the six there for Mainoo.
You know, and if that's Onana, that's a natural thing because the goalie can actually come much further out, and so you now have to make a decision about who you are going to send the press. So you are usually going to press with three people because you have three attackers. So if you have like man to man, that means one of the wing backs is going to be free. And that's why that ball for Wan-Bissaka going on that right wing was almost always available. Is because if you have a goalie that can pass, Wan-Bissaka can bomb forward, and then Sancho, whoever is playing on the right, like Anthony, can come more centrally. So now the attacker has to make a decision. The left back for the other team also has to make a decision about if they follow the winger and leave that space for the right back. You know, so it just changes the way that we play. And I'm really, really excited to see a difference in our team.
I think another thing that I noticed in that game was also how we're a little bit more in sync with the way we're pressing up front. That's one of the things I noticed too as well. Even though Sancho was in a striker, was playing a false nine. Like, I feel like every time, like, he moves forward, he looks to his left or his right to make sure whoever is on his wings are moving with him too as well. So that's one thing I think we lost track of towards the end of the season last season. I don't know, maybe because we were tired or anything like that, but that's something I'm probably looking forward to, a little bit more consistency when it comes to our pressing patterns and things like that. Because if, like you said, we have a ball-playing goalie right now, so which means if you move forward a little bit, that means the space is a little bit more compact for the opposing team to like play around and play around you, right? So one thing I'm also looking forward to is how we press, especially with our front lines, how we press during the season.
Yeah, and I think that's where someone like Mason Mount is going to be extremely important, because it's not just that he has the legs to press on like Eriksen, and he has more of a physicality to him than Eriksen. It's that he actually knows how to press. So again, if we're talking about, you know, when I go here, where do you go? So if Bruno is the trigger for the press, for example, because he's the furthest midfielder, I'll say your striker is the trigger for the press, then the other people have to know that, okay, if Bruno goes here, where am I going? Like, where am I trying to cut off? And I think that's something that when we looked at Scott and Fred, they were not in sync with the press, right? Like, they were not always making the right decisions about who to go.
Especially Fred. Like, I feel like Scott, if you tell Scott what to do, I feel like Scott is actually good at following instructions than Fred was.
But you get what I mean. So I think that's where like Mount is going to be very important for us this season. But yeah, just excited for the team in general, to be honest. I think obviously we still need a striker. Like you said, Sancho was playing as a false nine. So yeah, I don't know. But if you are going to give these guys a rating so far, the signings, you can use A or B, you know, you can use a number.
Well, Mason Mount is a C, only because I want to crack this joke. It's still a wait and see for me. Onana, we haven't actually got into to see him on the field. Again, he's going to be our starter. So, and I've seen some of his work, especially in the Champions League last season with Inter. So Onana away, Onana A, just because I feel like we needed that. That's something that I know that we needed. Like, now, the next line is going to be, do we get a striker? Because I can't imagine that we're going to go into a season with with Tony from France as our number one. I don't think we can rely on that guy for anything.
Nah, bro, we don't have a striker at the moment, man.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that I don't know.
He's on tour. We haven't even seen him play.
Yeah, I honestly, I didn't even know that he was on tour until I think someone put it in a group chat today. Yeah. That, that's him in the video. I'm like, this nigga traveled with us and he hasn't done anything.
Yo, he doesn't play for France. Like, he doesn't start for France. You know, he's not getting called up. So he wasn't even part of the players that showed up late. You know, like them Rashford. So he's been there since the beginning of preseason. He hasn't played a single minute of a single friendly. I don't get it. I don't know, like, is he still injured? If he's injured,
probably still injured. I'm sure he's probably still injured.
But injured players don't usually go travel with the team.
Okay, that's another good point.
Yeah, injured players don't usually travel with the team.
I feel like if we want to sell him, you also want to showcase him, though.
I don't think we can sell him because he's the only one we have. So if we buy another striker, then we have one. Then if we sell him,
we still need a backup regardless.
Yes. And I think if Tony is fit... So, like, now we've been linked with Hoyland. In my mind, I think we're still going to go for Harry Kane. Right? I think that's...
But that's who I've wanted from jump, though. Like, let's stop body's time wasting and all this, you know. Like,
but that one is a hard deal to do. Right? Because Spurs...
You don't think Levy would take 100 for Harry Kane?
No, Levy is saying he doesn't want to even have the conversation.
That's what Levy... He's saying that because he wants to...
Yeah, but like you also have to, like, you see the way we talked about what United has done so far.
Yeah.
Right? You remember Frankie de Jong last season? Barcelona was saying, will he, won't he? Frankie was saying, will he, won't he? They were saying, oh, there's money that's owed, all this. And then you spend the whole transfer window trying to sign somebody that you don't end up signing and you look stupid. So for me, it's like, I think they want Bayern to do the work of establishing a price first.
Oh.
Right, because Bayern is outside of England. So Bayern has submitted two offers already that have been rejected by Spurs. but they are submitting offers, so they must be feeling like there's a chance. And I think that's what's going to end up happening is, I think he's going to, they are going to either agree a deal with Bayern, and then United is going to come in and say, okay, we'll pay a little bit more than whatever it is that you've agreed. Because I don't think Bayern is going to go up to 100. But I think United will for Harry Kane. So I think that part of it, I wonder that, I think we are going to wait till closer to the end of the window for anything to get done. So we'll see how that goes. But we definitely have to sign the striker.
Yeah, like, I just don't like the last minute business, you know, especially when it comes to a pivotal, like, player. Because the striker is like, you need someone who's going to get in there early so you can get used to the system and get used to, like, the way Itich wants to play. I don't want a situation where we get him the last couple of days before the season starts and then he misses maybe the first two or three games. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I don't know. I want to try and hit the ground running as quickly as we can, because all the teams that we finished ahead of us last season are still going to be there this season, and they're probably going to be better. Like, I don't see Chelsea finishing 10th this season. I don't see Chelsea finishing 10th this season. This coming season.
That's fine.
But my point is that it's going to be harder, like, to finish second.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to be better this season. And you see, last season, so like you said, we do need to sign a striker. But I think a striker is the least tasking position in terms of how we need a striker to play, right? Like, a striker is going to start the press, but generally speaking, you're going to build out from the back. And so a striker is going to know, okay, I'm either dropping into midfield to bring other people into, like, holding the ball up and then looking to pass the ball to these other guys. So what I'm trying to say is, for a striker, the positions you have to be in are more straightforward. You are either dropping in or you're running in behind to go and finish. And even then, you know where you should be based on the way the team is going to play. So is someone like Anthony, for example, he's not going to be crossing with that right leg. So don't waste your time being in certain positions. You know, like, those kind of things, I think for a striker, is probably easier than for some of the, like, a midfielder.
So I'll give you an example why I'm saying that, because you also need to know how the striker, like, where the striker likes the ball, where he likes to run into. Like, I'll give you an example. Look at how long it took. Even though, like, Haaland last season for City was scoring early, I don't think they really gelled until, like, a couple of, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but I thought he gelled pretty early, though. You know, he scored.
You think so? No. Like, yeah. Remember City went through, like, that law, like, in the beginning of the season, because, you know, that was when the talking heads were talking about, oh, do City play better without, you know,
Haaland? Yeah, but he was still scoring. They just went to winning. So people were talking about, where he actually went into a low was like the middle of the season, and then towards the end of the season again, he started going crazy. But if you remember very early on, I remember this because we had I had like a thing where I said I didn't think he was going to score up to 30 league goals in the season. Or was it 30? I forget what the number was. And very early, like, I would say in the first like 8 weeks, he already had like 15 goals or something. Because he even scored a hat-trick against us in the derby, and that was relatively early in the season.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was. I think for these guys, they will figure out within the flow of the system itself, okay, you need to be here, you need to be here. And a lot of them are actually playing a pressing style too. So I think
if
it's Harry Kane, I'm less worried because the experience is there. ETH already knows, okay. Because ETH, that's another thing, is he knows what he wants. Like, I like this guy for this reason. So when he gets him, he's like, this is exactly what I want you to do. And this is how the team will play to support you in this way. And I think he has a plan for Haaland if we get Haaland. He has a plan for Kane if we get Kane. I think he even has a plan for 2020 if we, you know, obviously not if, like, 2020 is going to play, if he can stay fit, which is the biggest if of the season. But I think he probably likes Tony. And if Tony can just stay fit and get... But that's, you know, again...
As I think we're going to the point where I think evidence have mounted that, you know, he's not going to stay fit for the rest of the season. Like, that's...
Yeah,
that's sure. Tony. Like, that's his career, like, in a nutshell. Like, ifs and buts, right? So, yeah. I that's why I say I don't think we can rely on Tony. As much as I love, I enjoy the way we play when he's actually in, because you know he holds the ball up for the wingers to like run through. I like where we play, but at the same time, every other game is injured, so I'm like, But have you noticed anything else with the team that you're excited for? You know, going to
I think we talked on it a little bit. Mino has come through.
I've got to talk about Mino.
Yeah, like I was very high on him last season. Obviously, he didn't get to play a lot of games and he looked shaky in the first game. But like just paying attention to the youth system, like I'd always heard his name. And so he was somebody that I was really excited to watch. And I think obviously like the early impact that he's had, like the game against Arsenal yesterday, going up against Arsenal's 100 million man, Rice, I thought he did an excellent job.
He was. I was really, really impressed with him. Like, it's not even about like the thing I was impressed with is his composure on the ball, and because it was a stark different from what I saw when he had a few cameos last season. Because I felt like he was rushing in last season, and again, like you actually had to point out. I think you pointed out to me in the group chat like, "Oh, that was actually his debut season for us." Yeah. For some reason, I just thought like I had seen him before.
No, that was a debut.
Actually, that makes more sense to me now. But like, I feel like whatever ETH has, because I remember ETH was very consistent with like actually giving him a chance last season, and I just didn't know why.
And remember, like, you know, like we were talking about Zidane, Iqbal, and everybody kept saying Zidane. Why is Zidane playing? And those guys
didn't really see the they didn't really see the field like that compared to like Mino. So I feel like, you know, ETH has seen something in him like, yo, this guy has it.
I was saying like to me, Mino is going to make it before Zidane does for sure. And there's a reason why he's there. And like you see, ETH was trying to groom him. The one thing that people don't even realize about Mino is that he's extremely skillful. You never really get to see, because this is something that, like, one of the things that I really like about him too is when we talk about someone like Paul Pogba, for example, right? That's who he was compared to when he was coming up, because he was that type of like silky, skillful player. But now you see, like, his game is very simple. It's get the ball, pass the ball, get the ball. But he's always in good positions. He controls the pace and the tempo,
I think effective is a more way to describe him, because some people might hear simple and just think like, oh, no, like his game is not effective. Like, he knows, like, there's always scanning.
There's no touch that's wasted. There's no movement that's wasted. It's what it needs to be every time. And for me, it's like, if you're that young and you have that type of composure, in spite of all the things that you could be doing on the pitch, again, if you think about the way Pogba played, you always wanted to have a little touch and a little dribble and a little, let me hold you up, let me show you how strong I am. And I think, like, you watch Mino and you just see, like you said, effective. To me, that's like the mark of somebody that is thinking the game through and understands what the assignment is. Like, this is what I've been told to do. This is what I'm coming to do. All the other extra stuff, I can then do it if the moment calls for it. And those are things that you begin to build on, you know, as you get more confident and more, like, you get more experience in the game. It's like, okay, then, you know, in the future, I can show you, like, one dribble before I pass it. But right now, effective, you know? So for me, he's been good. I've also really liked Hannibal. I feel like we're going to either send him on loan or maybe even sell him. But I really like Hannibal. Like, I like his energy. I like his drive. I like his, like, fearlessness. I just don't think he has the same type of effectiveness yet that Mino has. And I think it's going to come a little bit, like, it might take a little longer for him to get that. I don't know if he's going to get that opportunity at United, but I think he's going to be a very good player as well. I like our goalie too. Our goalie has been like the backup goalie, Kovar.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen him properly. Like, I only seen Tom Hayden, but I'm sure he's probably going to play the Wrexham game. So I'll watch out for him in that game and see how he performs.
And then we also have like Ahmad, you know, who's
That was going to be my next question. Like, what do you think we're going to do with the likes of Ahmad and Pelestri?
I think Ahmad is going on loan again. It's a little tough. I think Ahmad and Pelestri, ideally, one of them would stay, but you don't know, because like there are lots of things in flux. Like, there's the forgotten man that nobody mentions, Mason Greenwood. you know, we still don't know what we're going to do with him as well. And he's somebody that would play on that wing potentially. So you have Ahmad, you have Pelestri, you have Greenwood, who United have to do something with. You know, are we selling him? Are we loaning him? Are we keeping him? And so you have like three players there that are vying for that same position. And then obviously you have Sancho. Does he, you know, I don't know if he'll play on the left wing because now you have Rashford and Garnacho there.
Yeah.
So, you know, except you're saying Rashford is going to play in strike because obviously, like you said, we can't trust Tony. So there are still like some positions there that are still in flux. So I don't think we get a resolution. For example, if we don't sign a striker, for example, say we sign a striker like Hoyland that is very young and Tony gets injured, Hoyland is not going to play every game. So then you're going to put Rashford in that position. Then you're more likely to actually have Sancho play on one side with Garnacho. In that case, you have to keep somebody to play with Anthony on the other side, right? So I think closer to the end, we'll see. But right now, I would lean towards loaning Ahmad, loaning Pelestri for next season.
Yeah, I think because I don't know. Yeah, because I'm thinking, going by that logic, yeah, like it's going to be tough for them to get like a spot on the team to actually play games and things like that. So I'm trying to think, who else do we have on that team that needs to be like guys on the fringes?
I think there's, who am I thinking of? Is there somebody else in midfield? There's Hannibal, there's Maino, somebody else played that wasn't too bad. I'm forgetting now. But even defensively, we have the left back, Alvaro Fernandez, who was Preston's young player of the season last season. I think he's coming. He's also shown. I think he's somebody that will get loaned. I feel like he could probably play as a backup right now, but some of these guys, you want to give them like 30, 40 games in a season. There is a situation where we can sell someone like Maguire and then move Shaw into centre-back. Because right now, on the pecking order, Shaw is ahead of Maguire.
In centre-back, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Like, Shaw was the one that finished last season for us with Lindelof. So, if you think Varane and Martinez are one and two, Lindelof is three, Shaw is four, Maguire is five. So, I think if you have a situation where you sell Maguire, then you might not buy somebody else. You might just keep Alvaro Fernandez and then let him and Malacia be the ones to fight it out for left back. And then every once in a while, Shaw plays left back, but he can also play, you know, he can play left back. And then when he doesn't play, he can play in center. And then you can move some of those guys to full back position. So I think that's another option. But some of these guys, again, I feel like, for the sake of experience, they probably need another season on loan. Yes, in a lot.
So let's wrap this pod up with who you think our starting 11 is going to be.
For the season or for the next game?
For the season. Like, again, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna minus the striker position because that's still very unsure.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry.
Myself for my striker, just so, because
okay.
I think whoever we sign, unless it's Kane, if it's Kane, I don't think we sign him before the end of the transfer window. Like, I think it's going to be that last week of the transfer window, and by then the season has already started. So on the first game of the season, Onana in goal, Varane and Fernandez in centre-back, and in centre-back positions, Wan-Bissaka, Shaw in right and left-back, Bruno, Casemiro, Mount, Rashford, Anthony, and Tony from France.
Yeah, I think I haven't seen Dalot really play that much this season.
Yeah, maybe but I think he was away with Portugal. So he was one of those that came back late. He was on the
Yeah, but the, Bruno too was away though.
Bruno is not Dalot though. Come on. I think Dalot played yesterday actually. Let me see.
Second half. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really watch second half. Like once the two goals went in after the first half.
He came on the second half.
Okay.
He came on the second half. All right. Yeah.
So it'll be Onana for me too as well. I think we're playing Wolves the first game. I think I'll start with like Dalot, The only difference in the back four would be Dalot for me, and then I think we'll keep the same midfield of Casemiro, Mount, and Bruno. And then I think the front three speaks for itself. I think I agree with you in the sense that even if we sign somebody, like Kane, we're not going to sign till probably late. The other guy, I keep forgetting his name. I don't know why.
Hoyland.
Hoyland, yeah. Like I haven't really heard anything that we're pushing for. I don't think we've made a bid for Hoyland at all.
Nah, Fabrizio says it's going to happen this week, though. We've been
Yeah,
in
so.
discussions for like years with these guys, so the bid has to come up at some point. They'll probably
Yeah.
reject it, and then maybe we'll make an improved one, and then if they accept, they will take that. But PSG is also interested in him. Apparently, he's a huge United fan, and I know this because I saw that one of those United fan pages, I forget which one, but one of them was talking to, like, he comments on their posts. So, for example, like, say they post Onana, like, you know how they have those, their videos? He will go and he will comment, and the guy that runs the channel was saying that Hoyland DM'd him like a year ago. And so they've been talking. So that one has been trying to give like some reports about like his own conversations that this guy really wants to come to United. So he's the one pushing for the move, even though there are other teams that are interested. But obviously, because like you said, strikers are not cheap and there are not many of them. So these teams can call numbers for people that ordinarily should
You
not be as
wouldn't, yeah.
expensive. Yeah, because there's nobody on the market. It's like, even like look at what's going on with Mbappe and PSG. And Mbappe is saying, bro, I'm going to be here. Like, I'm not going anywhere.
Mbappe is threatening to even sit out the entire season.
Yeah, they're paying him what? Almost 2 million a week or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah.
And to be fair, like even if he sits out, like he's still very young with that, you know?
But that's the thing. It's like you can say that you're going to sit him out, but you can only really do that until the season starts, until the transfer window is while the transfer window is open. Once the transfer window closes, what's the point of benching him? Because you can't even sell him at that point.
Yeah.
And I feel like they know what's up. He's already agreed a deal with Madrid to join them on a free next season. And he's going to collect over 100 million. If he makes it to the end of the season with PSG, he gets a loyalty bonus. The total amount of money he's going to make this season, if he stays there, is going to be 160 million.
Yo, those are crazy numbers, man.
Bro, that's one season. Then he's going to go to Madrid. They're going to give him a bonus, a signing bonus of over
Yeah.
100 million, along with whatever wages he's getting. Before this guy finishes his career, he's going to be a billionaire for sure.
Oh,
Because
for
PSG has
sure.
already given him in excess of 500 million. Like close to a billion already, just in terms of signing bonus,
And
contract.
that's minus like his Nike deal and stuff like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's
Well,
playing chess. Yeah, playing checkers.
on that note, we can end the pod here. It looks like everyone is just doing Jordan numbers this summer. But anyways, thank you all for listening. Please give us a follow on socials at What We're Fair Good Do on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. I don't know what Twitter will be called next week.
What do you mean?
You didn't hear that, Musk is rebranded. I think he wants to call it X now. Just X.
Wait, no,
You
come
haven't seen the
on.
rumors?
Nah, I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, just Google it. You see, like it's right all over the place.
Wow, okay, I'm going to go and check for that.
Musk, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that nigga is. I don't know if he knows what he's doing. For someone so wealthy, like sometimes he comes off as someone who doesn't know what he's doing.
I don't
Anyways,
feel like
that.
he's been bad with I feel like we talked more about Twitter now than we ever have.
Yeah,
And
but
I
like, is
don't
it actually growing Twitter? You get what I'm trying to say? Like, it's not growing the business.
I think it's hard to tell. I think it's hard to tell because it's going to be maybe different from the way that we thought it was going to be initially. Like if you look at what Twitter was before he came in, would you say they grew the business or were they just the same they had always been? Right? Like, and I feel like these changes, you kind of have to give it a little bit of time to say, okay, what can Twitter actually be? So, for example, they signed some new newscaster recently, the guy that left Fox, I believe, that is going to have a show on Twitter. Like, they're going to start getting into like some content creation.
Live content. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So there are other ideas like that that we might not look at. Like, right now we think of Twitter as just a place of discourse, and a lot of times aggressive discourse.
Very aggressive.
But like, it might end up being other things as well. And so those are things that like you kind of have to wait and let it play out. I know Instagram has
threads.
Yeah, I haven't.
No, I haven't either. FYI, for those of you who are listening, like, your threads is tied to your IG account, so you can't delete one without the other. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. Not a lot of people know that.
Oh, so they'll always be tied.
Yeah, so they're not independent of each other. Wow. I feel like it's one of those things in the fine print that, you know, people don't read. And then, because you know, everyone wants to get on a new thing and they're like, oh, maybe I'm bored of this, let me delete this. But no, you can disable it, but you can't delete the account, if that makes sense. Unless you delete your IG account.
Yeah.
So just a food for thought for our listeners who wants to join Threads. So I'm sure we'll get on Threads eventually. I know they had like records. I think they were the fastest social media to get to like 70 million or something like that. So,
but like you said, it's tied to your thing now. Like, if all you have to do is click one button to get your
I know. So,
that's not the same as downloading.
I think that's what Musk was talking about. Like, he's like, you guys are not playing fair. You can't. You already have IG and Facebook. It's easy.
Yeah.
But anyways, enough about the tech world. Like I said, give us a follow on all socials, including TikTok. Also, rate and review us. You can now do that on Spotify. 5 stars only. Anything less than 5 stars.
One last thing. Before we get to that, any movie recommendations? We haven't done any movie.
Ooh, I haven't watched. Actually, I haven't watched. Oh, the one I want to go see is finally out. Oppenheimer.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that, I know we've talked about that in previous pods. I've been looking forward to that. So I'm going to actually go see that this next weekend coming up.
I'm thinking about going to Mission Impossible.
See, that's another one I want to see, but not as much as I want to see Oppenheimer.
I don't know what to expect. And I feel like I'm more comfortable waiting to watch that in the comfort of my house. But I never know. Like, it's the same guy that did Tenet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, like, I think we've talked about him. Like, he's one of those directors that, like, anything he's doing, like, I want to see, like, just because of my experience with his previous movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, like, Mission Impossible, I'm like, okay, how many more times, you know, do you want to save the world, Ethan Hunt?
Right. But I've seen, like, reviews of it. Like, the reviews are actually pretty good. And I already like Mission Impossible, so he already had my... I probably wasn't going to go and watch it in theaters, but the reviews have been... Like, I think on IMDb, it had 9. On Rotten Tomatoes, it had 96%. On Google, you know how Google will ask, like, do you like this movie? I think it was, like, 97% or something, which never happens. So I know I'm going to enjoy it. Like, sometimes you just want like a good action movie.
Oh no, I have no doubt I'm going to enjoy it. I'm just saying, like, for me, like, Oppenheimer is more of something new, if that makes sense.
I love
the Mission Impossible franchise too, as well. You. Like I've seen every single one of them. So yeah, I'm actually looking forward to seeing that. But I'm just saying, if I had to pick one of those two to go see,
I get what you mean now.
It'll be Oppenheimer. I feel like Tom Cruise, we might discuss that in a different pod, is going through like a late career renaissance right now. Because he's like the Maverick. What's the name of that movie again?
Top Gun.
Top Gun Maverick. Like since Top Gun Maverick, like, he's been like, the reviews for Top Gun was...
Seen Top Gun Maverick.
No, you should watch it.
I heard it's really good.
It's really good, even though, like, again, it's the same formula for Tom Cruise, but like, I still, again, it's top. I enjoy those kind of action movies, right?
Yeah. he's like, honestly, he's like a safe bet for me.
Exactly. He's one of those things. Exactly. He's
a safe bet. You rarely go into a Tom Cruise movie and come out feeling like, man, that was trash. Or like,
well, I think I felt some type of way about The Mummy when he tried to venture out.
As soon as I said it, I thought about The Mummy. I wanted to. But like, I thought, okay, once in a while. But The Mummy was not a good look at all. But in general, he does a good job.
Yeah, no, he does. Yeah, so those are the two movie recommendations. I think I don't know if there are some people out there. I want to go see Barbie. Did you see like the whole like Barbie in Nigeria thing?
I'm not surprised. Did you see Ken's? These Canada's niggas, man.
Yo. Yo, that shit has been funny for yo. I'm like, wow, okay. Yo, Nigeria, like what was I talking to? I was like, yo, Nigerians, we don't know how to do anything like in moderation. Like it's all always over the top. Always.
One speed and one speed only.
Anyways, again, thank you guys for listening. We will try and bring you another pod before the season starts. I think we'll probably wait for the slate of games next week and then try and give you a pod at the end of the week. But thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.